Okay. Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If you have any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you'll silence them now, it's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We'd appreciate it. If you stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
all right, moving along now to item number three. This is discussion and possible action and approval of the agenda for October the 2nd, 2018. Mr. Wiggins, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
Yes, we do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff recommends combining items 12 through 21 inclusive, as is provided for in paragraph 2 of the header of today's agenda. There will be no presentation and no action taken. I will make a brief statement when we get to item 12 explaining the reason for the changes.
Very good. Any public comment? Is there any?
Okay. So we're going to hear a statement. That's it. We're not going to.
Yes, I'll make a brief statement.
We're not going to.
And the statement
eliminate
will.
Them.
Okay.
All right. Is any public comment regarding today's agenda? Get a motion to approve today's agenda?
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for October 2nd, 2018.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the agenda for October the 2nd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on now to item number four, discussion of possible action. Approval of the minutes of September the 4th, 2018. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes of September the 4th? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for September 4th, 2018.
Second.
Moving to second to approve minutes of September the 4th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5, discussion of possible action. Approval of minutes for September the 6th, 2018. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes of September the 6th? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for September 6th, 2018.
I'll second.
Moving to second to approve the minutes of September the 6th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 6. This is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along to item number 7. This is a discussion only. We'll take no action to public comment. These are committee and staff reports. Start on the right side of the room with Sheriff Antonoro.
Just a couple of things by way of update. Another Street Vibrations is in the history books. And from a law enforcement perspective, pretty uneventful. We only had 4 arrests during the period from Thursday through Sunday. Only one of them could be attributed to Street Vibrations. That was a guy who couldn't keep his motorcycle standing up when he had too much to drink and fell over. So, good event. Numbers seem to be down. I guess I'll leave that up to the businesses to decide with whether it was actually good or not. From a public safety perspective, it was successful. And with that, we only had one crash that happened in Story County, and that was out north of town and had a few injuries. But nothing major on that. We received one of our vehicles so far that we ordered for this year, the transport van for the jail. It's going to be going down to get decaled and upfitted and everything. We're taking possession of one of the other vehicles that was purchased this year for patrol. And some snafu happened with Jones West Ford, and they can't find what they did with the orders on the other 3 vehicles. So we're still trying to find 3 vehicles that are somewhere, but that's where we're at. So that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Nothing. Thank you, Sheriff. All right. In attendance today, we have representing the Porter Group, John Porter, retired congressman from Nevada, and he represents Story County as our consultant in Washington and other places. Good morning. Welcome, Congressman.
Good morning. Thank you. Well, it's great to see you guys, and it's good to be home, as always. I guess start out with a real serious note. You know, in high school, I grew up in a little town in Iowa, not that it matters, although I've been here since 1978. I wasn't a good athlete. I was not a good artist, but I did play in the marching band. I used to play the saxophone. But I did have one other job, and that's the photographer for the yearbook. So I know now I have a great future in the yearbook business. Just to warn you guys that I took a lot of pictures 40 years ago while I was in high school. So a little topical with what's going on in Washington. But thank you for allowing me to be here today. A lot of exciting things, and if you don't mind, let me talk about the environment for a moment, and then we'll get into specific exciting things for Story. You know, I encourage you to turn off your TV, your radio, stop reading your mail for the next 6 weeks or whatever it is. As you know, we're in the middle of a highly contested U.S. Senate race, probably one of the top races, if not the top races in the country, with sitting Senator Heller and Representative Rosen. I am not in the business of predicting outcome, but I can assure you there's going to be multi-millions of dollars spent, so the media is going to be very happy over the next few weeks. Also, we have two hotly contested campaigns in Southern Nevada, and this is important to Story County as well as the rest of the state and the country, where we have two major races for the House of Representatives for our Nevada delegation. We have Crescent Hardy, former member of Congress from Southern Nevada, running against former member Stephen Horsford. Just to give you an idea, that's kind of the northwest corner, you know, Mesquite and part of, up into the state. Then we have CD3, my former congressional district, where we have Danny Tarkanian running against Susie Lee. We try to track this closely, and as you know, our job with the Porter team and for the county is to make it work whoever wins. I mean, our job is not to be engaged in the political side. It's to make sure that you're well represented with whatever the outcome. But it is very important that we track it and we stay involved and spend time with the candidates. So you have those two House seats that are in play. Again, probably another $10, $15 million is going to be spent on those races over the next 4 to 5 weeks. We also have Congresswoman Titus, who has a solid reelection. I believe has been very supportive of Story County. And then our local celebrity, Mr. Amade. Mark, too, has a race, but I think I can say that Dina's going to be fine and Mark's going to be fine. Not sure about everything else. Of course, on the state level, it's all intertwines with the governor's race. The politics of running for governor ties in very closely to running for U.S. Senate because they're vying for the same voter, although sometimes that they will overlap. But what I would encourage you to pay attention to is not the amount of money being spent, but the registration drive that's taking place. Nevada has probably 300,000 or 400,000 people that haven't registered to vote that are qualified. And this rush to the end is going to be about who can register the most people, but also the turnout for the most people. When you're in a 1 or 2 point race, literally turnout is substantial. As a rule, with this pool of unregistered voters, it's he or she or which committee can register the most people. So watch closely. That is something I experienced in my race, watching the changes. In my last race was in 2008 for Congress. Literally 10 to 20,000 registered voters were put in the waning hours. I know from the clerk's office, very important, as with the registrar across the state, but registration is really key. On the political side, we're probably in better shape now that Congress has at least are in recess now until after the election, so there's less damage can be done. The Senate is still in and likely will stay in until they handle the appointment to the Supreme Court. On the political side of that, and I'm not a political pundit, but I think both parties and the members of those parties, whether you're Democrat or Republican, there are two really important seats in the country. One is the White House, the other is the Supreme Court. I would suspect, again, without inside knowledge, there will be an appointment fairly soon to the Supreme Court. I can't tell you who it's going to be. But all interested parties and the Democrats and Republicans are going to make sure, the Democrats are going to try to make sure that the Republican is not appointed. The clock is ticking, and I'm not an expert on the appointment process, but I do know the Senate can do a lot of things in a hurry if they want to. So I would expect before election there will be an appointment to the Supreme Court. I think that is paramount to Senate seats and to House seats. I would guess in order that those political parties are more concerned about the White House and about the Supreme Court than they are about winning the House and Senate. I would predict that the Senate will remain in control of the Republicans. It's going to be very difficult for a swing of 4 or 5 seats for the U.S. Senate. The pundits would say that the House of Representatives may switch. I still think there's a lot of time. Intensity is really at an all-time high on both sides, Democrats and Republicans. But you may have seen the most recent numbers here in Nevada, and I'm going to be off because I looked at them quickly this morning. But there's a substantial number of nonpartisan, a high pool of 200-some thousand, I do believe. And I'm sorry, I'll get you those exact numbers, although you probably can get them here. But there's a large pool of undecided, and that undecided, if I were up for re-election today, I would realize I probably have my Republican or my Democrat votes. The target's going to be into those independents over the next few weeks. Historically, most people don't make up their mind until about the last 2 weeks. A good share of people have made up their mind, so you'll find commercials focused on the undecided moving forward for the Senate. And for especially for the governor. So that's kind of an overview. Again, Congress is out, Senate still in. Congress is scheduled to return on November the 13th, I believe, after the election. So that week will be getting prepared to reorganize into January of 19. Leadership depends on, what happens with the election. There will be a lot of unfinished business, but it will be determined by who controls the majority of the Senate, the House, as to what the agenda will be. From a operating of the government, you may note that the government has been funded through December 7th, which means that when Congress is in prior to Thanksgiving, most of it's going to be doing, finishing up bills that had started. Moving then into Thanksgiving, and then into December with 3 or 4 major budgets that have to close. So the next few weeks, campaigning are the main focus. The Supreme Court's the main focus. Again, November, House is in, and the Senate for a little while, and then in, could be until Christmas Eve, depending on who's in charge in December. So it's kind of an overview that the partisanship, as you may read, is at all-time high. But I will applaud Story County to the board and to leadership. You played a very active role in where we are today, very active because the full Nevada delegation is rooting for you because of the relationships that you've created. And on that note, I think we're going to have a zip code here any moment, if not any day. As you know, the team at the Porter Group, Dan Hours, has done just a stellar job of working with the county, as has the rest of our staff, which before I conclude, I'll walk through who's working with us now. But also, where's Austin? Is there someplace? I know you are aware, because I've been in the communication, that in the final minutes of the vote in the House for the lands situation. They decided it wasn't narrow enough in this interpretation, but we're feeling pretty confident that in the Senate that piece will be fixed. The BLM, who I know we've had great working relationships with, had a couple different interpretations. Unfortunately, one of them didn't happen until the final hours, but that's on the House side, but working closely with Senate to make sure that gets accomplished. I'm thinking very positive for this year. So that's really it in an overview. I know the zip code has been a priority for half a century, give or take. So we feel really good about that and the creative nature of Mr. Amade helping us and, of course, the rest of the delegation. And I'm thinking very positive about the lands. So that's kind of it, other than opportunity zones, if you want to take a moment. And, again, working closely with the region, pretty excited about all the great things that are happening in the opportunity zone area. We're still, you know, on the edge of our chair waiting for the IRS to finish some of their interpretation regulations. There is a lot of folks that are paying very close attention to that. But I think very positive things happening for Story County. And RTC, I know we talked about the transportation and you're moving forward. We're there to help in any way we can as you organize and prepare your transportation commission. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I'm happy to answer any questions.
I would ask if it's possible. You said the commercials are targeted toward the undecideds, and I've already made up my mind.
Then so turn it off.
Can you get me to stop the
I turn it off really fast.
And I'll excuse Austin's absence, if you will. I believe he's on the phone with Mr. Maurer.
Oh, it could be with our office.
Thank you. I think it's been a stellar year for us,
you
know, generically. You know, we're excited about the progress. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for Thomas?
Yeah. Just a thank you. I mean, it's been just a real magical thing to work with you folks there in Washington. You're incredible at what you do. And just for my chair and for the county, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being there. It's been just a wonderful association.
Appreciate it.
Thank you,
Tom. If I could just, before I go, and I know I've learned long ago to sit down and shut up when you're done, but I wanted to explain what you've been a part of our organization for a number of years. As you know, it was Dan and myself when we started representing and honored to represent the county. We were then fortunate to have General Bob Herbert join us. As you know, used to be with Senator Reed, two-star general. Bob has just retired as of last week from the National Guard, but I've learned once a general, always a general, and especially if there's two stars, so I won't give him too hard a time. We also have from Mr. Amade's office, and I talked to Mark in advance, two of his staff have joined us this year. Stephanie Walker, who was Mark's legislative director, is again doing a superb job. Rachel, who was his scheduler, now works with us. And we have Brian McAnellan and technically two folks here full-time in Nevada, with a total of 10 serving you in a given time. So I'm pretty proud that we've been able to grow and I think provide services that that we're proud of and look forward to continuing with the county. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman.
Thank
it's great
you.
To see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation today.
Appreciate it. Thank
we
you.
Look forward to seeing you and your staff. We're going to go ahead and continue with our staff reports, and I'm not exactly sure what his title is now, but we have Mike Northan. He's going to be representing Public Works as some type of project coordinator. He can correct me once he gets to the point.
Thank you, Commissioners. It's Mike Northan, Operations and Projects Coordinator, reporting on behalf of Public Works. Just three quick things. We wanted to mention that the slurry sealing is going on all around town. It's going to be weather depending. You can't lay that stuff down if it's wet, and there's also some temperature considerations there. Paving on the parking area near the mailboxes at Cartwright is going to be going on October 23rd, so you can expect that. And then there's ongoing work with the storm drain project, adding storm drains at key places around town. And that's all I have.
Any questions for Mike?
No questions.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. Representing the community development, Peter Renault.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pete.
Pete Renault for community development. Been another busy month. Myself and Ashley Mead went to Denver, certified in electrical myself. Ashley did plumbing, mechanical. So that's going to help our ISO rating for the county. Martin's going to, Fire Marshal Azevedo, he's going to attend a foam system design plan review, I think in about a week and a half, with all the new development out in the park. Foam systems are pretty paramount. One of the highlights is the inspections just keep going up and up and up. Last month we did 252 inspections just in construction. Permits, the gig factory has 80 permits open. It's constantly ongoing. They're not doing any construction per se, but they're doing a lot of electrical, getting tool lines up for Panasonic. Permits last month, 32 permits, and plan review, 935 sheets, 19 plans. So Tracy Curtis has been busy both doing fire and building site on the plan review. That's about all I have. Any questions?
Thanks for Pete. Oh, great. Thanks for the update.
You bet.
All right, over community relations, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioners. Sherry Nevin for the record. Just a reminder that Ophir Grade Road is still closed for construction of the 5-mile waterline replacement project. We anticipate that will go through probably the end of December. Tomorrow at 10:30, we have a groundbreaking for that project and a ceremonial end to our BC sewer improvement project. So we encourage everyone to join us. Bring your umbrella. It may be rainy, but rain or shine, we won't be there long. So we're going to have a go anyway. It's at the water treatment plant there on West South Street, right behind kind of the NDOT yard.
West South Street?
On this Thursday, October 4th, from 5 to 7, we're going to have an open house downstairs in the County Museum. That'll kind of showcase the completion of the mural. Join us again. We'll have snacks and some refreshments and also a fun little kind of scavenger hunt. We have two more flu shot clinics scheduled before we kind of wrap up on that. Those will both be held on October 17th. The first one is from 10 to noon at the Mark Twain Community Center, and the second one will be from 4:30 to 6 at the Virginia City Highlands Fire Station. Last Wednesday, USDA Rural Development came up, and we did a substantial completion walkthrough for the BC Sewer Project, and we got a check off. So at your meeting on October 16th, we'll present to you a resolution and all of the closing documents to close that project. So just about a year that we got it done. So
terrific.
We're happy on that. And that's all I have for today.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Sherry. All right. Over to the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. District Attorney, Ms. Langer?
Nothing at this time.
Hey. County Manager, Mr. Whitman.
I just got back from a week vacation, Mr. Chairman, so unless you want to hear about the fine wines of Western Colorado or how many electric charging stations there are on I-80 and I-70, I have nothing.
Very good. Short and sweet. All right. County Clerk Stevens. Okay. All righty. That will conclude our committee and staff reports, and we'll move on now to item number 8. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Start at the far end of the table here with Commissioner Gilman.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Lance. Vice Chairman.
Yes.
Commissioner McGuffey.
Last Friday was the monthly MACO board meeting, and so the key topics were that they scheduled the state convention for next year around September 25th, the annual conference there. Location is Vegas, I believe.
Next year?
Yeah.
I don't know why they schedule stuff in September. It's the busiest month of the year for everybody.
As I know. Then we had proponents for the number 3 on the ballot, question number 3. The NACO, as a board, decided we're not going to endorse either side. It's just leave it up to the public. And then lastly, Judge Hardy, Supreme Court Justice Hardy, showed up. This is the second time he's appeared on to study the evidence-based pretrial release and bail. The thing is there's a lot of people that sit in jail, lose their job because they can't afford the bail, and they probably should just be released because they didn't have prior. And then bails are all over the board. Bail here might be $500 and Reno might be $100, you know, so they want to try to unify the bail system as well. And then at the same time, give judges more information on the defendants, because right now judges don't really know what their background is or anything. They have to judge on that incident, you know, so they don't know if they're a risk or not. So that's NACO is supporting that initiative, and so we might be seeing it in the next next year's legislature. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks, Commissioner. All righty. This last weekend, of course, was the Street Vibrations Motorcycle Rally, which is sponsored by Roadshows, Reno Corporation. Of course, Virginia City is a sponsor of this event. And anybody who was in town, it was rumbling, you know, for many days. A lot of people. And I want to give a lot of credit and hat off to the sheriff's office. Their staff did a fantastic job of traffic control and crowd control. Saturday of Street Vibrations is the largest day of the year in Virginia City. I know that from experience. It's larger than the 4th of July up here, which is a very big day as well. So the people that I interact with there who have contact with the officers are very respectful of what the job that the sheriff's officers are doing out there, how polite they are, and how they seem to have a pretty good time too, because it's a pretty fun-loving group. Didn't see any fights, like the sheriff mentioned. Only one guy couldn't keep it on the two wheels. We didn't have any incidents that I'm aware of, it's just good for the economy up here when you have an event like that. We don't have any problems. Everybody has a good time. So once again, Sheriff, thank you to you and your staff down there. Next up, we're going to go to item number 9. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is a presentation from Ben Sahe with Morton Asset Management regarding Story County's investment portfolio.
Good morning. About a year ago, we started working with Morton Asset Management to help invest some county funds. So Ben is here today to give you kind of an overview of what the market looks like and the success we've had in the past year. So, thank you.
How you guys doing today?
Good. Good, Ben. Thank you for coming up today.
Oh, of course.
Sharing your time with us.
Of course. It's my pleasure. My pleasure. What I'll do, I'll keep it short and sweet, 10 to 15 minutes. And then if you have any questions, please fire away. So if you guys have been watching the economy, there's a couple factors that have helped lately with interest rates. So unemployment at a national level, currently around 3.9%. Part-time employment has dropped and full-time employment has increased. So a lot of these people that have been working two jobs are now working one job and have benefits and more discretionary income. With that, consumer confidence right now is at an 18-year high. That was as of September. Domestically, our economy is really strong. You're looking at enhanced corporate profits. You're looking at an economy that's currently robust. And one item that actually helped last year was the tax cut, $1.5 billion in tax cuts. Saying that, though, wage growth is still lagging a little bit. And that really hasn't helped out with inflation. We're still struggling to hit that 2% mark. Some of that is also due to technology and a level of competition that we haven't seen in the past of production of goods and services. They're keeping prices down a little bit. Some of the items currently that may help with inflation and may help with interest rates as far as increasing those rates are these tariffs. So you've seen the U.S. just struck a deal with Mexico, Canada. We're still looking to strike a deal with China. There is a little bit of a loom there that there could be a trade war. obviously, the U.S. is trying to bypass that. We're hoping maybe for a trade scrimmage, or a trade scrumble. With that, the FOMC. Federal Open Market Committee, they've been doing a good job with raising rates and trying to keep the economy level, not quite overheating it, but not actually dragging it down as well. And so we had a rate hike in September. It was the third one of the year. Expectations are we're going to get another one in December. And then analysts, economists, and the FOMC are speculating next year we'll get two to three. And so what that means for you guys with your investment portfolio here, it's expected that those your net interest income, your return is going to continue to go up. So I don't know if you guys have been following it, but the last decade rates have been dead. You know, we've looked at 0.5% since 08 to 16. I actually started in this industry in 08. So I was only used to rates going down and just kind of dying. I wasn't sure if I was in the right industry. So saying that on your sheet here, what this is, it's the yield curve. And what I've done is I just want to give you a quick comparison where rates were last year compared to this year. So last year is the yellow line. And it goes from the 1 month, 3 month, 6 month, all the way up to 30 years. And so if you look at that 1 month dot right there, a 1 month treasury was actually priced at less than 1%. Currently, it just hit over 2. You're looking at about the 220 range. The 2 year right now is at a 280, which, you know, if you look at history, the spread between a 2 year bond and a 10 year bond is about 20 basis points. It's really tight. There's really not a lot of reason right now to invest longer than 2 years out, 2 to 3 years out. What that means for the county is you can invest your funds really short term, can have a lot of liquidity, so you can have those funds invested but still have them available to the county for spending and still get over 2%. Now, we haven't had that type of situation since 2008. With that in mind, if you look at the next page, this is the speculation. What this is, these are the different members of the Fed committee, and they're speculating where they think overnight rates will be for 2019, 2020, and 21. And what we do is we take the average, just that green line there. And so by next year, middle of 2019, they're thinking around 3%. How that affects you guys, if you turn the page, and actually if you turn the page all the way to I'm going to jump around here a little bit to page 5. It's this one right here. It's called a duration chart. So what this is a liquidity chart of your funds. That first block there, that 7.55 million, those are in a liquid money market. That money market accelerates as funds increase. And so that'll probably be in the 3% range by 2019. Currently it's right over 2. That's really positive for a county, a city, any type of government entity that's investing in really conservative investments that are extremely short term. Also, what's nice about that is that is liquid. You can use it tomorrow. If you jump out a little bit, you have another 500,000. It says 0.25 to 0.5. That means 90 to 180 days, and you have 0.75 to 1 year, which is 270 to 360 days. You have another another million that's actually due within the year. And so what this shows is basically half of your funds are extremely liquid, they're ready to go, and they're making a really good interest interest rate when you look at the last 10 years. We do have some longer-term investments that are 1 to 2 years, 2 to 3. When we first initially invested a year ago, the interest rate environment was much different. For instance, like a 5-year treasury was at a 1.75, and so we had to go out a little bit longer to get yield at that time, which actually boosted you up front, but now we're kind of shortening everything in. If you look at your market overview here, it's the basic risk summary. This will give you a snapshot of your current portfolio with us. So there's just a little under, I'm on the left side there, there's just a little under 17 million. We do manage a portion of Story County's funds. On the far right, you're going to see what type of asset classes it's currently invested in. You have 36% money market, 30% are FDIC insured CDs, up to 250,000. But you have another 30 that's in government agencies that have a AAA rating and a AA plus with S&P. And then you also have a little bit of commercial paper, just under 2%, and then high-grade corporate bonds, which is just over 4. What that shows is just you're really conservative. Under Nevada state statute, 355, 170, 171, it lays out the guidelines of what you can and can't invest in. Within those guidelines are even pretty conservative. And so safety of principal is foremost. Next is liquidity, and then is yield. To give you some fiscal numbers, if you look at the next page here, it's the GAAP financials. This runs to from when we started. I want to give you a full picture here, 8/15/2017 to the 26th. And so you're actually above, you've made money then. The beautiful thing about interest is it accrues every day. but with this in mind, your net on the total aggregate is just under $300,000. So that is spendable cash. That's not a market unrealized loss or gain. That is your net interest income. Those are your spendable dollars. With that, if you want to subsect it out, you've made about $100,000 from your reserve funds, which is a little over $5 million. And then your econ district funds, you've made just under $200 as of the 26th, and that'll be over $200 as of today. So just over $200 from the econ district funds, and then $100 kind of from your rainy day cash. With this in mind, with how we're reinvesting, we're always reinvesting at higher rates currently. We're staying really short. This time next year, you can expect to see this rate higher. Not sure how high it's going to go, but we are climbing the ladder right now. As far as the market goes, the economy is robust. The two soft spots that I'm seeing, or three, housing's starting to soften just a little bit. We're seeing some data there. The other one is wage growth. Wages need to catch up a little bit. Not sure how people afford homes in my neighborhood currently. Third is school debt, all that school debt. So we keep a close eye on all this. We do think with some of the NAFTA trade agreements, there will be some short-term pain. Long-term, though, it's looking fairly positive. So, any questions?
I don't know what to ask. maybe you could expand on the school debt. You said school debt is a concern.
Yeah, you know, it's spending. So millennials, I'm a grandpa millennial. I'm like the, so I don't really understand the whole, I'm 35, I'll be 35 this month. But I just kind of escaped that whole millennial generation where when they were going to school, the economy was pretty rough, right? And then they took all that debt out. And now they're trying to figure out how to get out of debt, how to buy a home, how to buy goods. And so there may be a lack of spending there. If you look at an inflation graph and you look at college education, healthcare, housing, oil, college education is just through the roof. And so, you know, you have these kids that are graduating with a fine arts degree, which has the highest unemployment rate of around 9% right now, and they get a job paying $42,000, you know, the $150,000 of debt. And there's a lot of situations like that. So I'm not sure what will come up with that, but that does hurt the economy because they are paying off debt and they're not spending that money elsewhere, not buying.
Living in the parents' basements and not buying houses and cars.
I have a couple friends like that. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's something we do continue to watch. So, but yeah, really happy with the performance, really happy with the economy. We do want to get this portfolio where it's looking, you know, in the mid twos, maybe threes. Currently you're over 2%. You know, your staff has been excellent to work with. Vanessa, Dory, Hugh, you know, it's been a privilege. So any other questions?
I have a comment, if I may.
Go right ahead.
Yeah.
And not a question, a compliment, actually, for the three people and now you, the fourth person. We've got a major corporation with a lot of incentive abatements out there that are a popular target with people. You know, Tesla's getting the free ride.
Right.
I verified with the treasurer because I also see the reports come in from her office that a substantial chunk of the money, a substantial chunk of the $17 million is actually money that the state gives us to hold. And then after they go through an audit process with Hugh, which is item number 11, I think, on here today to reappoint our auditor, then we release portions of those funds. I'm looking at a report back from March 18th where $4,350,000 came in. So I want to compliment you and definitely compliment our treasurer for a very progressive but still conservative approach to this to maximize our return on their investment because we do not pay interest on that. We
simply
pay out. So my compliments to Hugh. My compliments to you, to Dory, and, of course, to Vanessa for going down this path. Thank you.
Yeah, when they originally brought it up, it was really forward-thinking. And we communicate quite often about it, you know, to make sure liquidity is there and everything is in line. So, yeah, we appreciate it. So.
Okay. Before we wrap it up, why don't we go ahead and ask if there's any public comment. Maybe someone has any questions or comments on this item. Any public comment? Hearing none? Well, great. Thank you, Ben. Thanks for coming up today.
Do you guys want some chocolates? We just hand them out to all of our people. They're from North Salt Lake. So they're called Miss Cavanaugh. They're kind of a calling card. Then I'll get out of your way here.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
sir. Thank you. You going to handle the next item?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
How about we'll go to item number 10, discussion of possible action.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Approval and acceptance of a federal emergency management agency.
How did I do that?
I don't know.
I've never done that in my life.
Hazard mitigation grant award of $73,489.
Sir, please sit down. Sit
to assist the Surrey County School District with an emergency backup generator for the Virginia City High School. Well, I don't. I thought maybe you're representing your father here today. It's a high school project. All right. Ms. Nevin.
Sherry Nevin for the record. The county applied for and received a FEMA grant through their hazard mitigation program to assist the Story County School District with an emergency backup generator at the Virginia City High School. The high school is a designated sheltering location. We have used it in the past because it's set up perfectly for that. They've got a large gymnasium, a commons area, and basically a kitchen that can be used for commercial cooking purposes. The grant is for $73,489 of federal funds with a match required of around $24,496 that will come from the school district. Total project cost of $97,986. We have a couple of quotes on this project. The quote that came in the lowest was Highland Electric, a local electrical company here in town. And we're able to get the generator through the Joint Purchasing Alliance. I'm not exactly sure on those terms. Don't quote me. But all those pricing has came in. So with your acceptance today, we can move forward with procuring this. And if things line up correctly, they should be able to get this done while the kids are out of school on winter break, so it won't interrupt any power issues at the school. So
it's a good project.
Great partnership with the schools.
That's what another thing I want to reiterate. I mean, what a difference it's been working with Todd. We have had many opportunities come up where we can approach him and say, hey, here's an opportunity here. He comes to us. We work really well together. For instance, single point of entry systems that just went in all the schools, we helped them get that grant through our local emergency planning committee. This one came up. He jumped right on it. You know, there's other things that are kind of coming up. So I have drafted up and kind of working with the DA's office to put perhaps an MOU in place with the school district for these kind of grant opportunities, because I can see more and more coming. And if we can partner with an agency, it's much more appealing to these funders to be able to do that. So.
Great. And the district, Todd, has singled me out and said what a vital asset Sherry is, and her help is very appreciated.
Pleasure working with him and Kim Hames, too. She can't be left out. She has a big hand in what goes on there. So.
Commissioners, have any questions for Sherry?
No, I don't.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Okay. With that said, I want to get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve and accept the Federal Emergency Management Agency, known as FEMA, a hazard mitigation grant administered through the State of Nevada Department of Public Safety Division of Emergency Management in the amount of $73,489 to assist Story County School District with an emergency backup generator at the Virginia City High School, and authorized for Sherry Nevin and or Pat Whitten to sign all associated grant documentation.
I'll second.
All right. We moved in a second to approve for the approval and acceptance of this grant. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 11, discussion and possible action. Review and possible approval of agreed upon procedures presented by Grant Thornton, LLP, certified public accounting firm, pertaining to audit engagement with Tesla. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the commission. This is an Irish thing. Before you, you've signed it, or you've authorized me to sign this, I think, a couple of years ago. And this is a deal between Tesla and Grant Thornton CPAs. They audit the sales tax remittances from Tesla when they go to the state. This is a document that says basically that they have no liability whatsoever for what they do. And it's accountants, as you will, But it says the agreed upon procedures engagement does not constitute an audit, examination, or review, the objective of which is the expression of an opinion or limited assurance. Accordingly, agreed upon procedures cannot be relied upon to disclose errors, frauds, or illegal acts. In addition, an agreed upon procedures engagement does not constitute a legal determination of a company's compliance with specific requirements. What the agreed upon procedures are basically this. Tesla and its subsidiaries all file tax returns to the state of Nevada and remit those taxes as if they were not in a tax-free zone. The state of Nevada takes their 2% and gives us the balance for the most part. We then, by an application through Grant Thornton of analyzing these tax returns to make sure, number one, they've got Story County on them. Number two, recalculating the sales tax returns for the proper calculation. They then send me a report for which then I do a very simple audit and then provide that document to the clerk treasurer for payment back to Tesla. So this is kind of a round robin that was discussed with the tax-free zone. And it's probably the only document that that I will probably sign at this time because, according to Keith Loomis, I don't have a signature power on anything. So with that, with your approval, I will go ahead and sign this document, give that to him, and this should be good for another year.
Okay. Is this done quarterly or annually?
This is continuous. We get... Depending upon what Grant Thornton does, sometimes this can be every other month, every month. The funds going back to Tesla range from 2 to 8 million in any one period of time. So it just depends on, you know, during their construction phase, obviously there was a lot of money going back. It all goes back except the state portion.
And this is a three-party contract, right, Hugh? Between Tesla, the state,
yes,
and Story County.
Right.
Okay. You have any questions? No? Take public comment on this item. Come on up, Mr. Ayers.
Good morning. Steve Ayer, long-time resident. As part of this, is the Grant Thornton deal verifying that Tesla is fully following everything they agreed to, numbers of Nevada residents being hired and that sort of thing? Or is that somebody else that's in charge of that?
Mr. Gallagher?
That's a negative on that. They're doing is sales tax numbers. That's all they're doing. So as far as... employees, whatever, I think that's probably go at.
Exactly. It's the Governor's Office of Economic Development, Steve, that verifies those numbers.
Oh, okay. So they are making sure that every all I's are dotted, T's are crossed. And
that's our understanding.
Okay. Thanks for the question. Any other public comment? Okay. If we get a motion to approve.
I hereby approve the agreed upon procedures presented Grant Thornton LLP with regards to sales tax audits of Tesla for reimbursement by Story County to Tesla and allow the comptroller of Story County to sign such document.
I'll second.
Moved and second to approve this this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, now we're on up to items 12 through 21. Mr. Whitten.
Mr. Chairman, before I go ahead and speak briefly, I believe Commissioner Gilman has.
Mr. Chairman, in the interest of caution, and in as much as I hold a pecuniary interest in the property that is the subject of these items, I'm going to recuse from discussions and or voting.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman.
Okay, and again, we are dealing really with the combined items now of 12 through 21. Late last week, one of the six participants withdrew from the financing structure.
This significantly changes the proposal on many levels, and there are now a multitude of questions needing to be answered. Accordingly, we are heading back to square one, and everything will need to be restructured and redone if this project is going to move forward. Again, at this point, with so many questions outstanding, staff probably won't be able to provide much detail at this point. However, with that being said, you should still allow for public comment, as some in the audience may have come today specifically for these items. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. So we're not going to take any action on items 12 through 21. And we'll go ahead and take public comment, but I don't see any reason to go ahead and continue this either, right? We just won't hear it?
That was the decision we made with legal counsel.
That's correct. As far as the agenda items as they are set forth, the whole situation has changed that these items at this point are irrelevant. So it's right. Not something that they will be these items being changed, date specific to another date, continued indefinitely because the whole structure is okay. Potentially being changed.
So, until the stakeholders come back to the county with a new plan or a revised plan, we'll just go ahead and leave this off.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. With that said, we'll open up for public comment. Okay. See no public comment?
No action.
No action. Do we have to take a vote on taking no action on these items?
No, they're just... No.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Just wanted to move on to item number 22.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Community Development, they are recommending approval of items A through I as they appear on your agenda.
Okay. Is there a public comment regarding the approval of the business license second readings today? Fair enough. I get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the business license second readings for items A through I.
I get a second.
Second.
Moved and second to approve all items A through I. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 23, public comment. Anyone in the audience have any public comment? Mr. Whitten?
This tells you how fast things change. Sherry earlier announced our Slammer open house set for Thursday late afternoon. And we just found out that one of our two artists will be unable to attend due to a family emergency, and the leader of our committee, Laura Mather, and Sherry and I and Jesse and others that are weighing in on emails believe it's a good idea to go ahead and reschedule this at a later date. So if you have it on your calendar, take your someone special out to dinner instead of coming to this time.
Okay, very good. All right, one more shot at it. Any more public comment? Hearing none, see you in 2 weeks.